We're going to look at some of the great men of women, rather, of the Bible. And the first one we're going to look at is Rahab. And we're going to read about her in Joshua chapter 2. Remember the background now. The children of Israel have come across the Jordan. Moses is dead. Joshua is leading them. And they've come into the land, and they're going to now begin to conquer the land and take over the land. The Lord says the people have been so wicked that I'm going to have to just clean out this whole area. And I want you, the children of Israel, to take over this country. It's going to be your land. And so they're there now in the land of Canaan. They crossed the Jordan. And we're going to read the beginning with verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they are now, or where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Now where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a little token, a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the man answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on the wall. And so the men leave. let down over the wall. And they say to her, "We'll spare your family. We're going to come in, we're going to take this city, we're going to take this land, but we will spare your family because you've shown us kindness." Now, I want to look a little at Rahab. She's an interesting person. We don't know a lot about her, but we do know that enough to realize that there was a tremendous change that came in this woman. She was in a heathen country. She grew up worshiping idols, and she had fallen into an immoral lifestyle. She was a prostitute, and that was quite common in those heathen lands. It was even part of their temple worship. They had temple prostitutes. Now, many of them too, when they would have a business like this, they would also have a hotel in connection with it. And that's still true today, where you could get a room. Now, these men didn't go there to do business with her as a prostitute, but she apparently, had rooms that were available, and so they went there to get shelter. And she takes the men in, and when the word comes out, the king's after them. The king's heard they've come in. He says, "We've got to get rid of these people. They're going to spy out the land. They're our enemies." And he sent men to apprehend them, arrest them. "We're going to take them out of here." And she hid them, took them up on the roof. They had flat roofs, and she had flax there drying. And she puts them on the roof, lying down, covers them up with flax. She's going to conceal them. And when the men come from the king, she refuses to turn the men over. She lies about them, basically. She says, "They left, they've gone out before they locked the city gates, and I don't know where they've gone, and you go chase them, see if you can find them." And so she goes up now and talks to the men, and she gets a promise from them. She says, she laid her life on the line by concealing them, by sheltering them. And she says, "I want you to show kindness to me." And she says some amazing things here. She says, "I know that your God is the true God, and that he's going to deliver the people here into your hand." And she's convinced of the greatness of their God. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." And later then she says, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." In other words, she'd become a believer in their God. She was turning away from her gods and her religion, and she was putting her trust now in this God of the Hebrews that she'd heard about, and she came to believe in, and she came to trust in him. A tremendous change. She turned away from her world, her people, really. She became a traitor to her culture, you'd say. And she turned now and accepted the God of Israel. This was an act of faith. And as we think of this, we realize that when I consider Rahab, she's marked by faith. And if you go over to Hebrews 11, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here. Here, as he gives all of this list of men and women of faith, Rahab is mentioned in connection with them. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, Rahab. And so I think of this woman, a woman who had been a wicked woman, you'd say involved in gross sin, selling her body to various men, a product really of her culture, you'd say. She was just living as her people lived, worshiping idols and all the rest. She comes to a place of faith in the true and living God. And she accepts him. She now identifies with the Jews, with the people of God. And interesting that, you know, she was able to take this step. Now, if there's faith, it's going to show in your life. And it really showed in Rahab's life. It was taking a stand with them. And she says, I believe in your God. I believe he's the true and living God. And because of that, I'm endangering my life to save yours. And they said to her, well, you leave the red cord hanging out your window. When we take this city, we're going to spare you and your family. And they did that. Her family, when they took the city, after they'd gone around it 7 days, and on the seventh day went around it seven times, when they took that city, her family, herself, they were all spared because of the faith of Rahab. Now, interesting, she comes into the people of Israel, she ends up marrying a Jew, and she, and this is the amazing thing, Matthew 1, it tells us she is in the line of the Messiah. She was an ancestor of Jesus. And you think, what an amazing thing. As you think of Rahab, you think of, well, here is faith for salvation. She was under the judgment of God. That city was going to fall. They were going to die. And they were just ungodly, wicked people. And she, by faith, breaks with her culture and breaks with the city. And she puts her faith in the true and living God, and she shows it by what she does. And she chooses now to change her relationship. Now she's going to be identified with the Lord's people. And by faith, Rahab took that step. Faith for salvation. Now it's a wonderful thing to be saved. You know, I imagine Rahab, time and again, would just thank the Lord. She realized the whole city, her neighbors, the people there, died under the judgment of God. And she was spared by the grace of God. She didn't deserve it. She was as wicked. She was a gross sinner, an ungodly sinner, a wicked sinner. Sexual sin is viewed as one of the worst sins in the Bible. And she had committed this sin repeatedly. And yet here she is spared. And she now is sheltered with the people of God, becomes involved with the Jewish nation. And she's now, by the grace of God, in the very line of the Messiah, as Matthew 1 points out. Rahab, one of the ancestors of Jesus. What an amazing example of the grace of God. A woman who had been so depraved and so wicked and so lost, utterly lost, saved and forgiven and in the line of the Messiah himself. By faith, Rahab believed for salvation. I want to go over and look at another woman just go over a bit until we come to, after Judges, we come to Ruth. And I want to look at Ruth, who to me is one of the most beautiful women in the Old Testament. Dear Ruth. Now, as we read the story of Ruth, you remember that Naomi and her husband had left Bethlehem and they'd moved over to Moab because there was famine in the land. And while they were there, they had two sons. While they were there, the sons married Moabite women. Now, her husband dies. Her two sons die. She's left a widow. She says, I need to go back home to my people. So she gets the two daughters-in-law and she says, now look, you may as well stay here. You marry someone here. This is your home. This is your background. This is your culture. But I'm going back. I'm going back to Bethlehem, where my home is. And it's an interesting thing as she starts leaving the city and heading back. She says to both of them, the girls, they were kind of walking along with her. She says, go on back home. And we're going to pick it up in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And she says, as they're there, they're lifting up in verse 14, it says, they lifted up their voices and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. In other words, the one daughter-in-law, Orpah, wept. She had a natural attachment, but she says, I'm going back to my own people. I'm going to stay here in Moab. But Ruth clung to her, to Naomi. She said, I'm not leaving you. And then she makes this amazing statement in verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord also do to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. The two of them then go back to Bethlehem. Now, it's amazing when you think about it. This too, she was a heathen girl, but apparently not as depraved, not as wicked as Rahab. But she grew up in a culture where they worshipped idols. It was just an ungodly, immoral culture. And here she's making a choice. And we do that when we get saved. If you come to a position of faith, you're making choices. And here there's a choice to be committed. By faith she did this. She says, I've come to believe in your God. Your God now is my God. Naomi talked to her about her God, the true God. And Ruth had come to the point where she said, I believe in your God. I believe in your God. And I'm committed to your God. And I'm going to go with you. I'm committed to you. Wherever you go, wherever you lodge, I'll lodge. I'm going with you. It's a tremendous example of commitment by faith. She'd never been into Bethlehem. She didn't know the people. But she was committed to Naomi, and she was committed to going. Now, when you get saved, there should be commitment. And the commitment is not only to the Lord, but to his people. And here she says, your people are going to be my people, your God, my God. I'm committed now to a new family, a new relationship, a new culture, a new way of living and looking at things. I'm going to become a Jew, basically, is what she said. And it's amazing when you think here of this step that she's taking. She's leaving her home, leaving her family, turning her back really on all her friends from her childhood and all the rest. And she's going off into that which is strange and different for her, but she's taking that step by faith. And by faith you see this beautiful woman making this tremendous commitment to Naomi and to the Lord and to his people. Now, if you really accept the Lord into your life, you should become a person marked by commitment. You ought to be committed to God himself. God first. God before anything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But then also you should be committed to the Lord's people. These are God's people. Now, she hadn't been a part of them before. She'd never been in Israel. But she said, I realize if I accept the God of the Jews, I need to accept the Jewish people. And your people are going to be my people. And when we get saved, we make that tremendous change. And sometimes it's a real break with your natural family. It's not always easy. You're saying, I'm choosing a new family, a new relationship, and I'm going to be committed to God's people. Now, when I accepted the Lord as a young man in high school, I immediately felt the place where church where I'd been going, the people I'd been associating with, hadn't helped me spiritually. And here I'd heard the gospel. I realized I need to be with people who believe now what I believe. And I began meeting with a small group of Christians who met similarly to what we do here. And I was making a tremendous change. Now, it was a change that was, my family didn't understand. My mother did. She'd gotten saved. But my father was so hostile, so opposed. He said, you're leaving our church and you're leaving your family. Our people have always belonged to this church for hundreds of years. And it was like a betrayal of my family to leave them and go to a different church. But I made that choice. And I never regretted it. But I can remember my father being very angry. You're breaking these natural ties. You're associating with a different group. And this is what Ruth did. By faith, she made that commitment. And so when we tell people you accept the Lord, now you accept the Lord's people, and you need to start meeting with Christians. You need to be sure that you're making Christians your close, intimate friends. You're not going to hang out with those you used to hang out with before who just are going to try to drag you down. You've got a new family, and that's basically what Ruth here is saying. And she went on with Naomi. She has such a lovely spirit too. They didn't have welfare that, and Ruth went out and she was gleaning. She was going behind the reapers, and if they any grain, a few stalks of grain would be left, she would glean, she would gather them, and then they would beat out the grain. She was a worker. And she was determined to do what she could to supply the needs of Naomi and her. And then, of course, the man in whose field she was reaping, we don't have time to read all that. You should read it, though, when you get a chance. Boaz is attracted to this young woman. And he says, he talked to her and he told them, young men, now leave her alone. Let her work here. And don't, no one lay a hand on her. And he said to her, he said, you know, I've heard such good things about you. I've heard how you left your country and all the rest, and you come with Naomi, and you're a godly woman. You're a good woman. Well, the outcome of it was, finally, she marries him. He's near of kin, and he ends up, Boaz ends up marrying Ruth. And Naomi is blessed now. There's a son born to Ruth and Boaz. And Naomi holds his son in her arms. And she's so, so blessed. Now the interesting thing is too, Ruth also, a Moabite woman, one who wasn't really in the part of God's people, the Jewish people, is now in the line of Christ. She too is an ancestor of the Lord Jesus. Well, what a tremendous thing to think about. And it all happened because by faith she believed and she became committed and she made that break with her past and with her culture and she became one who was identified with the Lord's people, a godly, wonderful woman. It's a wonderful thing if you're married to a wife who's a committed woman, committed to the Lord, committed to the Lord's people, and Ruth is an example in that area. One other woman I want to look at, a godly woman. And we'll go back to Genesis, and we're going to read in chapter 24. And remember, Abram's concerned for his son. He wants him to have a good wife. And he says to his servant, I want you to go back to the country where I came from, the area where I came from, and I want you to find a wife for Isaac. And so his servant makes this long trip, comes in with his caravan of camels. They come to the well. The well was always kind of a gathering point because everyone had to go there to get water. They'd carry water home. They didn't have any running water. All the water ran if you ran with it. No plumbing. So he stops at the well and he says, Lord, I don't know which woman is the one you've chosen for Isaac. But he said, I want you to show me a sign. I'm going to ask some of the young women when they're coming out to draw water to take back home if they give me a drink. Now, if the girl says, I'll give you a drink and I'll also water your camels, I'll know she's the one. And so he prays. He prays and is trusting the Lord. And Rebecca comes out. And let's pick it up in verse 17. The servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Can I have a drink? You know, we're thirsty. We've come on a long trip. So she said, drink, my Lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down in her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. She quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the servant is amazed. He says, Lord, You've answered my prayer. Now, she was asking for a big job. Camels can drink a lot of water if they've been on a long trip. And there were a number of camels here. She said, I'll draw for water for all of them. Which shows that she had a real servant spirit, a humble spirit. She was a wonderful character. Well, he asks her who she is, and she tells him, and she tells about her father and her brother and so forth, and he realizes they're relatives of Abraham. And so he's invited home with it, and they're all excited. Here's someone who's come from Abraham, and he tells them his mission. He's come to get a wife for Isaac. And they say, well, this is evidently of God, the way things have worked out. It's okay with us, her father said, and Laban, her brother. And then they asked the girl. They said, will you go with him? And she said, I'll go. And she made that choice. And she went with her maids, and they went on that long journey back. Now, as you come to the end of the chapter, they're getting near to where Isaac is. And in verse 64, it says, Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there were camels. The camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. And she said to her servant, to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it's my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Interesting story. Now, here's a woman too who's marked by faith. She's going to marry a man that she's never met. But she saw the hand of God too in this. And I think you could say by faith she took that trip. She was willing to accept this man into her life that she'd never met. Now, when you become a Christian, this is what you do. None of us have seen the Lord Jesus with our eyes. But we heard about him. We heard about his love. We heard about his death for us. And we made that decision too. I want to accept him. I want to choose the Lord Jesus. And that's faith. We haven't seen him. One day we will see him. But we're on this journey now to the time when we will see him. Now, what she was choosing by faith was a life of pilgrimage. And I want to go back to Hebrews 11, because she was leaving a house. Laban had a house they lived in. And when the servant talked to her and she asked about her master, she may have said, well, what kind of house does he have? Where does he live? What town does he live in? And the servant would have said, well, you know, we don't live in houses, we live in tents. We just follow the herds, flocks, wherever there's grass, the pasture changes from time to time. And so we live in tents. And she chose to leave a house for a tent and become really a sojourner. A pilgrim. And that's what it says in Hebrews 11 as it describes these people by faith. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar and were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland. And so by faith, Sarah became a pilgrim. She left her homeland, she left her house for a tent, and she said, I'm going to be one now who's looking for a better land. And she, by faith, became a pilgrim. We do that too when we get saved. We say, heaven is our home. We're just sojourning here. This isn't permanent. A time is coming when we'll be with the Lord, and there's going to be a permanent habitation. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And so are those with Rebecca who are pilgrims and strangers in this world. Well, there are three lovely women, and we can pray that our women will be women like that. By faith, Rahab was saved, and by faith, Ruth became one who was committed to the Lord and to his people. And by faith, Rebecca said, I'll leave my house, I'll leave the comforts here, and I'm willing to live in a tent. I'm going to be Isaac's wife. And she became one who lived a life of pilgrimage. That's what we're doing. We get anchored down to things, and it's hard to give them up. The house we've lived in it for 38 years, and we're going to be giving it up. We're going to move. But the truth is, ultimately, everything in this life, we're going to give up. And we're going to heaven. We're going to be with the Lord. And we should be those who by faith say, Lord, that's the kind of life I want to live. I want to live a life that's lived for you and pleasing you. And not just for the things of this life. Not just for material things. There are things more important than the things that we see all around us every day. So may the Lord help us, and help us to learn lessons from these three godly women.